Hi everybody and welcome back. This is our second episode of our fourth series. Can't believe. Now, before I begin, I'm going to ask you to listen to the following song and guess what our subject is about this week. Now, the song itself may not be what it seems.
You can be, oh, you can be. Life's your canvas, sketch your dream. You can be, oh, you can be. Make no compromise, no, no, me. There'll be times when you must change. Circumstance will be as such that to remain would hollow out all the riches from your cave. The future left to save. But it means everything to me. I can see the shades of colors in between. Now as you glow, casting shadows, it may seem the wind beneath the leaves. And you can be, oh, you can be. Life's your canvas, sketch your dream. You can be, oh, you can be.
Now, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. What stops you from being all that you can be? And why do you compromise who you are? Now, we know that there are many, many reasons and experiences and events or situations that can stop us from becoming who we are or just being who we are and why we would compromise. But not always are they positive reasons. One of the things that can really stop us is being harassed, and especially psychological harassment. Of course, another word for this, which I didn't know, is mopping. And both of these are considered to be very unethical and very destructive because they're ways of reacting to a situation or behaving towards another person. So I suppose the question would be then, well, what is psychological harassment? Now, I've heard recently where it's defined, and I, for the life of me, I can't remember where I heard it or where I read it. And it was defined as a negative or hostile behaviour by one or more persons, directly or indirectly targeting another person, that occurs continuously, repeatedly, and systematically over an extended period of time. Harassment is intended to attack or demean a person, whether that's by isolating them or excluding them, which we know ultimately will force somebody out of their workplace, out of their educational program, and sometimes even out of their families. Now, it can also refer to a combination of situations or events that are considered, I suppose, on their own harmless enough, but when they're combined, will have a destructive effect on the targeted person. So then, what are the actions that would be considered psychological harassment? Well, actually, it can take several different forms because it can infringe on another person's ability to be able to communicate themselves. Let me give you a little example of this, which we're all guilty of. And we do it every single day of the week. And that is, we constantly interrupt other people or talk over them. We know we're all guilty of this. How many times sitting at a meeting or sitting at the family table or just chatting to somebody over a coffee and somebody starts to talk and we're nearly biting the edge of the table to get a word in. And then somebody else interrupts by talking over the person and then we talk over them and so on and so forth. How many times when we hear a person's opinion, do we get all defensive and start shouting at them before they've even got halfway through their opinion? We're forever at it. Social interaction is intended to harm a person. So, for example, refusing to contact a person, or not greeting them, or ignoring them, or giving them the cold shoulder, or acting in such a way that will exclude them or isolate them. Another one is the attack on a person's reputation. Another example, if we ridicule a person or begin to spread rumours about them, or mocking them, or humiliating them, or making insulting or rude or sarcastic remarks about them. And here's one behaviour that is intended to harm a person's health. If you give a person an excessive amount of work or threaten them with violence or worse again, carrying it out, which one do you do? Do you talk over a person? Do you gossip about a person? Do you make innuendos or spread rumours about a person? Or do you threaten a person? We will all do one of them. And the most common is, we either talk about the person or when we are with them, we talk over them. Now, let me point out here that not all experiences that are negative can be defined as psychological harassment. I mean, think about it. We all experience negative events and situations in our life, but they're not ongoing. So I would suspect that it's clear understanding of a situation or talking to a person or talking to the people around you would make an event or situation clearer rather than going into a defense mode. Because when we go into a defense mode, that's when our problems begin. Now, there are a couple of things that are considered to be, I suppose, just normal everyday negative experiences and that would not be considered to be psychological harassment. For example, when we express strong criticism. But be careful how you express it. Unintentionally giving instructions in not too nice a voice or a tone. In other words, don't shout at a person because they're not doing something the way you want it done. Let me give you a little example of this. If you have somebody in to paint a wall in your house, and you've given them the paint, and they paint the wall, but they missed a tiny little spot. What's your reaction? Oh, look, you missed that over there in the corner. Oh, look, didn't do that properly. Why would you do that? Why not just point out the fact, you missed a spot over there. Could you just throw a bit of paint on that bit over there? And even if they don't miss a spot, but you're not happy with it, that's not their issue, it's yours. Just because somebody paints a wall differently to the way you do it, doesn't mean that it's wrong. Just means that it's different. Same as filling the dishwasher. Every person will fill it differently. Just because they don't do it the way I want it done, doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that it's different. And yes, there are moments when you're filling a dishwasher that the plates have to go in a certain spot. And if it's mechanically orientated, i.e. if you put the cups on the bottom and the thing goes round and round and breaks the shit out of the cups, well, naturally, it's the wrong place to put them. But there's no need to eat the face off somebody just because they make a mistake. You can point it out in a very nice, polite manner. You don't have to rip the face off somebody. And we're forever doing it. Just because somebody doesn't do something the way we want it done, or the way we would do it, that is no excuse to behave in a nasty, negative way. Another one is having a verbal argument or disagreement with somebody. We need to be able to disagree with each other. We need to be able to argue with one another. We need to be able to put our point across in a clear manner. However, if you think you have the only opinion and your opinion is right without listening to anybody else, then be careful. Who's got the issue? Now, the next one is kind of an obvious one, and it says it all in one line. Being in a bad mood every now and again. That's not really an issue. We all have our ups and downs. Requiring an improvement in a person's performance. Okay, well, let's take a look at that one. Let's take the guy painting the wall. If the person I've asked to paint the wall, and my presumption is he's going to paint the wall, and it's going to take an hour to paint the wall. Well, why is he still there in 6 hours? And why is only half the wall painted? Then I have to look at, okay, well, has he been sitting down all day? Has he been drinking tea all day? Has he couldn't bother his arse to paint the wall? He's too lazy. Then I have a right to criticise the performance of a person. But it's the performance, not the person. I found the Cambridge Dictionary definition of harassment quite good. Especially around the law element of it. Not that I'm interested in law, but I just thought it might be a different take on it. And it states, harassment is the illegal behaviour towards a person that causes mental or emotional suffering, which includes repeated unwanted contacts without a reasonable purpose, insults or threatens or touches or uses offensive language. So here's another question. What's the difference between psychological harassment and victimization? Are they the same thing? Well, now we've looked at what harassment is. So what's victimization? It has been described as someone treating somebody else badly because they have done a protected act or because they're going to do a protected act. The reason for the treatment does not need to be actually linked to a protected characteristic. And of course, now I hear you say, what in the name of bleh is a protected act? And I should have said bleep, but you know what I mean. Okay, so let me give you 4 lines of what a protected act is. And this is minimal, okay? It is making a claim or complaint of discrimination under the Equality Act. It is helping somebody else to make a claim by giving evidence or information. It is making an allegation that you or somebody else has breached the Equality Act. And it is doing anything else in connection with the Equality Act. Now, let me point out here that if you think I am going to read the Equality Act, you're sadly mistaken. If you want to read more about it, go and read it. And I would suggest that you read it. We all need to read it. I'd like to bring you back a little bit just to clarify under a couple of headings that might help the understanding of harassment. Number one, obviously, is repetition and severity. And this is where behaviour is repeated. Now, the number of repetitions or how long it lasts required varies according to the seriousness of the behaviour, the words and the actions, but also the effect it has on the victim. And this is where what I said earlier, where I said not one incident can be considered to be harassment. However, there is an exception to this rule, and that depends on how much it affects the victim or the targeted person. However, a single incident may constitute harassment only if it has similar consequences and producing a long-lasting harmful effect on the other person. So it is absolutely vital that we act quickly to a situation to stop it from deteriorating. In other words, if we don't try to stop bad behaviour, it is likely to continue and to get worse. Number two, hostile or unwanted behaviour. Now, we know that hostile behaviour is intended to inflict harm, because if we didn't want to intend harm on somebody, we wouldn't be hostile and we certainly wouldn't behave badly. We also know that the party who is being harassed does not have to have a disagreement with the harasser. Malicious intent is not necessarily required for a behaviour to be deemed unwanted. However, the people who've been targeted are responsible in expressing their disagreement and asking for the perpetrator or the harasser to stop. Number three, attacks on dignity or well-being. These types of behaviour would normally target a victim's dignity or their psychological or physical well-being. They try to erode the person's self-esteem. They may even try to deteriorate the normal human bodily functions. They also may try to psychologically or emotionally create an imbalance in somebody's mind. Targeted people of psychological harassment always experience symptoms such as crying, depression, memory problems, irritability, agitation, lack of interest, isolation, a lack of confidence, and self-esteem itself. They will also have fatigue or sleep disorder, stomach problems, a loss of appetite, back pain, sweating, dizziness, tremors, and even nausea. So you can see how bad harassment can be on a person. Number four, toxic places or environment. A person who harasses another will behave in such a way that they'll actually make the targeted person feel that their own environment is toxic and unsafe and that they can't stay there anymore. They may even become very uncomfortable when they try to stay there. Psychological harassment can also be seen in some cases when it's caused by uncivil actions or words. But here's a question for you. What is civility or incivility? Let's take a little look at them. Well, basically, it involves more than just being polite and courteous. Civility basically means we have to consider others and be open in our communication, respectful, ultimately adopting a behaviour that promotes collaboration and harmony. Incivility, on the other hand, will always involve words or behaviour that demonstrate a disregard for the basic social norms, which include respect, courtesy, politeness, and one of the old phrases, good manners. So what is an uncivil act? Well, it's an act that is considered to violate the standards of respect in a workplace, or in a home, or in a school, basically anywhere you meet other people. So what does acting respectfully mean? Maybe it's about being courteous and polite. Maybe it's taking other people's opinions into consideration. Maybe it's the use of our tone of voice. Maybe it's looking at an organisational structure. But now, when I talk about organisational structure, I don't mean work. Look at your family dynamics. Look at the roles that we play in our families. How is it organized? And here's one that we're all guilty and fail to do. Be on time. When we talk about working collaboratively, what does that mean? Maybe helping one another? Maybe being positive and receptive? Maybe even sharing ideas and knowledge? Maybe being conscientious in what we do, in the little things? By working collaboratively with either family members, friends or co-workers, we still can gain our independence as a result of this collaboration. So what about being open? Maybe being open means to accept and adapt to change. Maybe it's about respecting other people's tastes and customs. Maybe it's about giving other people the chance to express themselves freely. Maybe even reaching a compromise when there's an argument going on. Or maybe it's accepting that other people may have a different view to mine. Which brings me nicely onto communicating effectively and what that means. It means to be a good listener and being receptive. It means making sure that what you have to say is properly understood by everybody, especially those that need to understand it. It means having empathy. It means sharing information when necessary. It means changing our tone of voice to one that doesn't incite defense mechanisms. So let me give you a little bit of what things don't mean. Acting respectfully does not mean using sarcasm. It does not mean being judgmental or creating an innuendo. It does not mean that you start a rumor about somebody. It does not mean you take credit for somebody else's work. It does not mean making sexual advances or gestures. And it certainly does not mean pushing people around for your own benefit. Working collaboratively does not mean isolating yourself. It does not mean being condescending or arrogant. It does not mean you avoid your co-workers or your family or friends. It does not mean that you actively act exclusively for your own interests. And it certainly does not mean creating interpersonal conflicts. Being open does not mean being prejudiced. Being open does not mean ignoring others. It does not mean being defensive. It does not mean sticking to your ideas, to your opinions at all times, at any cost. And it certainly does not mean avoiding attempts to understand changes. Communicating effectively does not mean talking aggressively or yelling. It does not mean swearing at somebody. It does not mean making negative or destructive or derogatory comments about somebody. It does not mean sharing misinformation or neglecting to share relevant information. And it certainly does not mean being provocative in any way, shape or form. Stay safe. Stay well. Namaste.